You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Oh!
I'm doing fantastic.
Man, I got a big smile on my face right now.
Why?
Because you and me are in God's city.
the one that maybe, well, it might be his city, but I think they forgot about it.
No, man. No, this is, we are in a glorious place right now. And of course, listeners have put it together that we are here in New Orleans, where we have been, or New Orleans, if you will.
Orleans, yeah.
And we have been really just enjoying, like, hanging out, you know, good food, getting some, you know, some really great time together. And I am so excited about this episode in particular. Because you and I, we're doing a Squire Select episode.
Right. Which is exciting anyway.
Which is, it's
right.
That's exciting anyway. But we're doing like a New Orleans themed Squire Select episode.
Yeah.
And we're doing something we've never done before. And I just think that's awesome. And yep. I'm really excited. It's a fun thing where the place you're in matches what you're like when you're, what am I trying to think? Like when you're enjoying something that came from that place.
Yeah, it's appropriate for that place because
exactly.
That's the source of it. Yeah.
It's part of the history. It's part of like you're living the story by consuming the product that came from that specific spot.
Well, it's like, you know, if the best crab is from Boston Harbor.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I probably just made a bunch of people angry because I assumed the best crab is from Boston Harbor. I don't know where the best crab is from, but you know, and you're eating it there, it's like, well, that's probably the best you'll get.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you feel like, all right, this is the premium. This is the premium right here. All right. I'm just super excited, man. We got a great show for folks today. First, got to let them know that we would not be made possible if not for our good supporters at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. We got the International Pipe Club there, and we would love to have you join. So again, that is patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You know, I always wonder if for Squire Select episodes, if the listeners can tell that we've been pre-gaming. Surely not.
I don't know. I think, I feel pretty confident in myself right now.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand.
Oh, I feel very confident.
I mean, well, you feel confidence, not the thing I'm looking for.
Right.
I think you look kind of loose.
Yeah. I'm feeling good, my friend. I'm feeling good. For those who are not aware, Squire Select is something that takes us all the way back to the earliest days of Country Squire Radio, where we pair up pipe tobacco with various beverages. Now, it might not be beverages, it could be something else, but generally speaking, it's beverages, and generally speaking, it is a little bit of the brown water. That is the whiskey variety of water, the water that's not water. Whiskey. It's just whiskey.
It's just whiskey.
But today, that's not the case. Because we are going to be doing something a little bit different. We will be covering one specific whiskey, a rye specifically. But we will also, instead of doing another whiskey or another, you know, rye or something of that nature, we're also going to be doing a pipe tobacco cocktail pairing.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'll admit, man, part of this is because we're in New Orleans and cocktail we're going to cover, as with many cocktails, can trace its origins to New Orleans. And it seemed very appropriate. The other is because I'll just say it. I'm super jealous of the guys at the Old Fashioned Finance podcast because those dudes can like talk about cocktails every single week. And I'm like,
That's what they do. Yeah.
And they give you financial advice, but who cares? They talk about cocktails over there, man. Like it's good stuff. And I'm super jealous. And then also I heard them talking about a Sazerac a while back. I'm like, I want to talk about
Sazerac. Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
We got to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just ripping them off. Be sure to check them out. But no, this is going to be unique because aside from just a normal pipe tobacco pairing, you're going to have a beverage. Actually, one sitting right in front of us.
Yep.
We're about to talk about the company, the history, the beverage itself, talk about the flavor, all that kind of good stuff. But after you have paired this beverage, we're going to add things to this beverage and see if that same pairing makes sense or if you can come up with a better one.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is tricky because you don't have a lot of experience. You're not a cocktail drinker, right?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy them and, you know, certainly do. But yeah, I tend to drink stuff just kind of straight or neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Well, we'll start off that way and see where it goes. All right. First up, man, we are talking about Sazerac rye.
Yeah.
Now, let me just ask you this. How familiar are you with Sazerac rye? as a product?
Yeah. I've gone through probably one bottle in my life.
Yeah. Is that right?
So, I mean, I've had it before. I enjoyed it and, you know, familiar with it enough to be dangerous and certainly to pair it with some good pipe tobacco. But yeah, this particular whiskey is interesting to me. It's almost like it was created, you know, the cocktail itself predates the whiskey.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The whiskey, this is a modern invention that was almost like, okay, if we're going to use rye whiskey in a Sazerac cocktail, America's first cocktail, you know, if it's supposed to use rye whiskey, let's make the perfect rye whiskey for that cocktail.
Right.
And that's what the folks at the Sazerac company tried to do. And you know,
it's a tricky ask, right?
Sure.
Because if you think rye whiskey and you think anywhere in America, you think rye whiskey or just whiskey in general.
Right.
Where are you thinking?
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Any whiskey, you know,
and this
you
is
think
this,
of Tennessee, Kentucky, exactly. Indiana, all that yes. area up there.
Yeah. Bourbon, what have you. You think Kentucky. But if you're thinking Sazerac.
Right.
You're thinking
New Orleans. Right.
So I am very proud about this company because their headquarters. It's funny because you start like doing the research. You're like, all right, Sazerac rye. I mean, okay. All right. Well, Buffalo Trace Distillery. Oh, I love Buffalo Trace. Oh, this part of the same family. Fascinating.
Right.
Which is in Kentucky. But wait, they're owned by the Sazerac company, which is headquartered in New Orleans, and the right. Marinade to be specific. So like you have this particular rye that was crafted with the Sazerac cocktail in mind, obviously, but it's just a really solid, good rye whiskey.
That's all it is. And it's fantastic.
That has its roots directly in Kentucky.
Right.
And New Orleans. So if you're looking for like that cosine quality.
Cosine. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Like you can't get better than this right here.
Yeah.
It's like you never saw Game of Thrones.
It's a double knighted. It's like someone that's been knighted by two kingdoms.
Yeah. Right? Or even better, like if you have like, you know, the child of one kingdom and the child of another kingdom come together and they get married and now this is their child and it's like the king that of two kingdoms. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Oh, that's great.
That's essentially what we're dealing with Sazerac.
Yeah, right. No, you're right, man. And it is a beautiful product. Really good. I mean, you know, this particular whiskey is made by Buffalo Trace. And, you know, what's interesting about Buffalo Trace is in our part of the world, it's hard to get Buffalo Trace products. Now, I know if you go in a lot of cities, you can just walk into any liquor store and find, you know, Buffalo Trace.
That's not true, though. Houston is one of the fourth largest cities in America, and it's still kind of hard. Like, I would argue it's actually easier. I would actually argue it's easier in smaller towns where there's not as much demand.
Stuff is not as picked over.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Because you and me, we were just down at the corner store right here, and they've got a pretty nice selection.
They had tons of Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
Out of their ears. Yeah.
I mean, it's
a small shop that, you know, most people don't go in to buy liquor.
They're sold out of Crown.
Well, there is that, but I didn't see, you know, all the Jack Daniels was gone. But,
right.
But, you know, folks are going in that place for, you know, different things. Or, you know, and it's also kind of a grocery store, so they're going in there buying, you know, just whatever small items they need. But, you know, but you go to your liquor kind of, you know, warehouses where folks are going to stock up on, you know, on this kind of stuff. And it's hard to find some Buffalo Trace products.
Yeah.
It really is. And so all over the map, whatever they are. So
I remember when we did a Squire Select, I think we were actually wanting to do it on Buffalo Trace, but they were sold out. So we had their Eagle Rye. Eagle Rare.
Which now is just as hard to find.
And honestly, I mean, this is me. It's not that good when it comes like by comparison with Buffalo. In my opinion, Buffalo Trace bourbon, I would actually say is better.
You would actually prefer that.
I would. And actually,
that's interesting.
I would also.
I like the Eagle Rare better, but I like both of them so much.
And I know a lot of people are like that, but I don't know. It doesn't do it for me like the classic like Buffalo Trace. But you know what does do it for me?
Sazerac Rye.
Man. So let's talk about the bottle. We got a beautiful bottle here. You know, you think about like if you were on a destitute on an island somewhere and you need to put a message in a bottle.
Yeah.
This is the bottle you would use right here.
Yeah. No,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
That classic long stem. The bottle itself has kind of that octagonal. What do you call that?
Well, it's
paneled.
It's paneled. It's a fluted glass.
Right.
So it has these panels on it. It's very reminiscent of what you might think of in the 19th century American South. It's just got that flair to it. That's elegant and understated and beautiful. It's very nice.
Everything about it has that, kind of romantic feel of a speakeasy. Like the branding itself, just the Sazerac Rye, the little flair that's around both the fonts, the way in which it just kind of is off to the side like that. And it's funny because today when we think about speakeasies, we think about like flair.
Yeah.
But of course a classic speakeasy was like hidden.
You're right. You know what I mean? Like, no flair. Like right. we want to stay out of the limelight.
Right. Exactly. And so it's just very, it's always very interesting to me that you also got the straight rye whiskey. It has kind of the Buffalo Trace, you know, at the bottom of their whiskeys, they always have kind of just the, this is what it is. And
yeah.
there's the two little lines going off to the side.
Yeah.
But the branding itself is, it's very, it's in your face. It stands out and it's making a declaration.
It is. It is. It's saying I'm something important. You know, I can kind of stand on my own in that way. I want to read some of the, you know, descriptions of this. So from the actual Sazerac website, the one and only New Orleans original, Sazerac Rye symbolizes the culture and history of the Big Easy. In the 19th century, industrious farmers and distillers in the heartland of the United States barreled and shipped their rye whiskeys down the great Mississippi River to the bustling, growing city of New Orleans. These spicy and assertive spirits fueled the whiskey culture of New Orleans and established the first American cocktail, the Sazerac. And so it's interesting, even in its own essence, it's got that co-signing of the, you know, in its birth, the, you know, American heartland, and then also down here in the bayou.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's interesting, right? Because, you know, so you're calling your rye Sazerac, you've got the ties to New Orleans, you've got the ties to Kentucky, you've got all the things that you would need to have the a gumption to call yourself Sazerac,
yeah,
you know, to
sure.
use that name. Because obviously the name implies the cocktail. There's a lot of history around the cocktail.
Yeah.
But the rye itself, man, like if you just kind of give a little swash, give it a little look, anything that you kind of note in terms of like the coloring and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it has a soft amber color. This is mm-hmm. not a super, you know, when we've poured it in a glass here now in the, you know, in the bottle, it's a,
should we just tell them we poured it in a champagne flute?
There's a champagne flute where that's about all we've got access to right now, but it's a crystal champagne flute.
It is,
so,
yeah.
you know, we're happy to have it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's very appropriate anyway. You know, it has this kind of soft amber color. That's very beautiful. In the bottle, it's a little darker, but it has kind of a semi-sweet nose with just a little sting. It's not particularly, you know, superlative or overwhelming as far as the you know,
it doesn't punch you in the face the way that a rye typically does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
at least, well, so in terms of like just the as you say, the nose, I mean, like, yeah. you know, you got this kind of clove, bit of vanilla, which is, I mean, like a lot of times if you're talking Buffalo Trace, there's going to be some kind of hints of vanilla that's somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Mm. I really want to drink it. Can we drink it?
Yeah, let's drink it.
You're already drinking. I look over to you and say, hey, should we?
Like, hey, his portion's half gone. Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I love the heat of a rye.
And now you know it's a rye.
Yeah. yeah.
So it does have a assertive spice to it, which, you know, for me is a very characteristic of my enjoyment of rye whiskeys. It's a bit aggressive. You know, it's one of those that you can tell, like, they went for heat and spice and bite, you
right.
know, and they nailed it. It's one of those where they wanted to be superlative in that area, and they've done it.
There's two specific flavor profiles that you find in this, and I think it's appropriate given the fact that, you know, they're trying to create a rye with a Sazerac name on it. And those two kind of flavor profiles is you have some citrus.
Yeah.
You've got some licorice.
Yeah.
And that's going to play a larger part into what we're going to talk about next, but that's certainly here. It's more subtle. It's not like in your face or anything like that. I think mm-hmm. the licorice is really more on the back end. In terms of if you're someone, and rye is not a sippable like beverage for everybody. I love it, but not everybody likes to sip a rye.
It's almost like scotch. It's a little polarizing,
right?
You know, and I think there's a reason that Tennessee whiskey and bourbon sell so much better.
Sure.
It's just smoother. Because it's a little more palatable yeah. for a broader, you know, collection of people. Although rye, as we've talked about before, is becoming more popular.
Yeah.
It's something that folks are starting to pine after more and more as folks' palates are becoming a little more sophisticated. So there's enough dry sweetness in this whiskey to give the bourbon enthusiasts a little home plate, or, you know, start, you know what I mean? Like, there's enough
yeah.
crossover there for it to be, you know, for the bourbon drinker to come into this and feel comfortable.
It's not an offensive rye from that
standpoint,
right?
No, yeah. not at all. Yeah. And as they say on their website, I really like this. It says it has a mellow spice that dances on the tongue, giving pure delight that is worthy of the Sazerac name.
Mm.
So
yeah,
and I'm with it. I think it's a good rye.
Okay. Really. So this is where the rubber meets the road, man. So you've got the beverage right here. You've had your opportunity to kind of taste it, to swirl it around. This is where the folks want to know, man. If you're sipping, and again, and we need to be clear here, we're not talking the cocktail yet. That's about to happen.
Right.
If you're sipping Sazerac Rye from our friends at Buffalo Trace.
The straight whiskey. Yep.
Yeah. I say our friends. I would love Buffalo Trace. Call us.
Yeah, I know, right?
if you're enjoying,
you can pay us in kind. Yeah.
If you're enjoying some Sazerac Rye from Buffalo Trace, what would you recommend to pair with that pipe tobacco wise?
Yeah, I'm looking for something that is going to counteract the sharpness of the Sazerac Rye. You know, it's a warm and strong flavor. It coats your palate really well. And so it's a bold whiskey. It's something that stands on its own really well. It has a just a really good identity. It's semi-sweet. The sweetness is certainly behind some of the pleasant bite that's there. And so I'm wanting to amp up some of that, you know, natural sweetness, a nice tobacco flavor, something that's going to continue to coat your tongue, not really compete with that, but is going to lean in maybe a little more to the sweetness and counteract some of that sharpness that might be for some people a little off-putting. Yeah. So I've picked an aromatic here that's widely available, although not as available as some of its counterparts. And it's a Lane product, and it's called RLP6. RLP6, one of the best-selling tobaccos in America, just not quite as popular as its older brother 1Q. But RLP6, it's similar to 1Q, and then it has those notes of vanilla. It's soft, and it certainly, you know, loads easily and lights easily and all that kind of, it's a great tobacco, but it leans a little more into the cocoa and nougat area of part of the flavor wheel.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I appreciate that when it's, you know, coming to, you know, you're bringing something to the table that's strong and robust, but, you know, has that edge to it, has that sharpness to it. And so, you know, for me, the cocoa and the nougat provide a nice tongue coating. It also just has a nice, RLP6 just has a nice kind of undertone of just tobacco flavor, what we would consider a solid tobacco flavor. And so that's still present in RLP6, where a lot of Lane's aromatics, you don't see that as much. So I appreciate that there, and thought it paired nicely.
Yeah, that's a good pairing right there. It's always interesting how you kind of assess the whiskey and whether or not you kind of rise to like meet it or challenge it.
Well, and it's hard to know.
Yeah.
It's hard to know or compliment it or,
yeah, exactly,
or just totally be subservient to it. You know, yeah. I think there's, and you know, you, again, very subjective. Your mileage may vary.
Okay. Now we're going to get crazy. I'm curious. This is going to be very interesting because I don't think we've ever done this before. And it kind of puts you a little bit on the spot.
I don't think we've paired a cocktail.
No. And,
ever.
And I, on top of that, like we're literally looking at one, like, well, the core ingredient of the cocktail, which is rye. And in this instance, specifically a rye that has the boldness to put the name of the cocktail in its name. So I think I can't think of a more appropriate, you know, beverage to attempt something like this with. I'm excited, man. So the Sazerac, one of the most historied cocktails in America. It claims its birthplace in New Orleans because that's where it was born, you know, is accurate. However, there's still a lot of mythology and lore.
There is.
That surrounds where, as with any cocktail, and especially cocktails that come out of New Orleans, you've got so many different historied, like, hotels and bars and like cocktail establishments and gin joints and speakeasies back in the day. So many of them claim this cocktail and that cocktail originated here.
Yeah.
You could go around. You and I don't know if we'll have time while we're here this trip. I hope we do. We might pop into the Carousel Bar. Have you been to the Carousel Bar?
I've never been. No.
The Monteleone, the Hotel Monteleone Carousel Bar. Like, I love that place, man. We generally, for me, it's my go-to after a night of festivities. They've got a fantastic Bloody Mary. Just so good. But the bar itself is a carousel. It like rotates around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, more often than not, you have to fight to get a seat there, especially around the holidays and that sort of thing, when it's just like that hotel is like packed like crazy. But you can go in. They will claim that the Sazerac originated there.
Right.
Now, there are other folks that will tell you that back in the day in New Orleans, you had all these coffee shops.
Right.
Where, you know, quote unquote, and listener, hear the quotations, coffee shop, where you went and you didn't get coffee. You got cocktails. You got the booze. And that's where they're saying, like, and so there are locations around New Orleans that will claim that the Sazerac actually originated there. Now, the Sazerac actually claims a lot of different components to the cocktail itself that have a lot of lore and legacy around them as well.
Right.
So Peychaud Bitters was also created here in New Orleans. And I'm doing this from memory. So like if I'm off on anything, somebody can by all means correct me. But if I'm not mistaken, the man that developed it, he was originally from Haiti. He actually came to New Orleans during the Haitian Rebellion. Here he created a couple of different, you know, kind of cocktail related creations and curations. And Peychaud Bitters, of course, has become one of the most popular and ongoing, you know, components to many cocktails and is a prominent component to the Sazerac.
Yeah.
That's one very important component.
Yeah.
Peychaud Bitters is a, you know, you think about bitters in general, you know, Augustinian bitters. Augustinian bitters.
Agatha Christie bitters.
We got Peychaud right, okay?
Angostura?
Angostura, that's right. That's right. We're doing one bitters at a time. We'll get one of them right, and then somebody will write
it. The old Agatha Christie bitters.
Agatha Harkness. Anyway, You've got that you kind of see in a lot of different cocktails.
Yeah.
You got orange bitters that pop up in different cocktails. A lot of times you get orange bitters that actually pop up in clear liquor drinks like gin cocktails and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, bitters actually, there's a lot going on in bitters right now. You and I last night went to a local restaurant here in New Orleans called St. John, which I highly recommend.
And had cocktails that had tobacco bitters.
Tobacco bitters.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic.
I don't even know what that is.
There's probably two of the best cocktails we've ever had. It was really fantastic. I highly recommend it. For the Sazerac, Peychaud Bitters, absolutely like a critical component.
Yeah. Sure.
A main feature. So that's one thing. All right. I'm trying to like paint this picture of this cocktail for you. So you got these different components, right? Then you've got absinthe. Now, absinthe is very licorice-y.
Right.
It is, and if, like we talk about how the Sazerac rye is not like offensive to the bourbon run. Absinthe is offensive to everybody. All right. Like absinthe is.
Some people just embrace it.
It's heavy licorice. It is. One of the things that I love about it is it has a very potent smell.
Yeah.
That singes you to some extent. Like it both awakens and singes the nostrils at the same time in preparation to receive the rest of the cocktail as a whole. And what they used to do back in the day when they were making a Sazerac cocktail is they would pour a bit of absinthe in a glass and they would actually toss it into the air, clap their hands and yell Sazerac. And actually some of the bartenders in New Orleans, especially at the carousel,
still do that. Yeah.
Not everybody. Cause you know, some people drop glasses. That's not good. So you got the absinthe, you got the Peychaud bitters, you got your rye, and then you've got a little bit of sugar. So simple syrup.
Like a simple syrup.
Simple syrup, something like that.
Yeah.
And then a very critical component as well is lemon. And what I mean by that is a lemon zest. Now, it's not just there for the look.
Yeah.
You literally want to like twist and squeeze that zest so it sprays on top of the glass. And I've seen some folks, I do this myself, will take the zest and kind of fold it over the edge of the rim of the glass and kind of run it around.
Kind of coat that almost like the salting of a margarita.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not as hard caked, but like really just making sure that you're getting that citrusy flavor.
Yeah.
Because that absinthe and the lemon together creates such a unique experience.
Yeah. It's so weird to think of licorice, lemon, and this rye whiskey flavor.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, all that is just a concoction that's pretty convoluted.
Yeah.
But the way it comes together is amazing.
It's so good. Well, that's the thing, because you have those scents that like really like kind of like, again, they kind of smack you in the face a little bit and they kind of awaken your nose. And when you now drink in the cocktail, which is a very different flavor profile than the lemon and the absinthe type of like smell and scent.
It's almost like the sum is greater than the parts.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It opens it up. It makes you experience the cocktail in a whole other way that if you didn't have either of those, I mean, you're just drinking whiskey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that really is a holistic experience. It is my absolute favorite cocktail. It is. All right. I'm gonna do a little bit of a twist into this as well.
Okay. All right.
For me, personally, when I make a Sazerac, which I do almost nightly, I love Sazerac, I do two parts rye, but I cut down on the simple syrup, and I actually do one part cognac typically like an apple type of, you know, flavor profile in there, but like, so that the sweetness is actually coming from the cognac. It makes it a boozier drink, and it is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So, John David.
With that in mind.
With that in mind, you got Sazerac rye, two-part Sazerac rye. You got one-part cognac. You got Peychaud bitters, a little bit of sweetness. You got absinthe, and you've got that citrusy lemon twist at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to pair that with
what the heck
tobacco?
Do you do with that? Yeah. So this cocktail, you've got all these incredibly powerful ingredients that stand alone on their own.
Right.
Very well, and leave a big impression. You know, I mean, in every one of these ingredients, you've got something that leaves a big, even lemon. I mean, lemon's just tart and sweet, and it's, you know, it makes your mouth pucker and all that. I mean, so everything we've talked about here has a very distinctive, you know, characteristic to it. Somehow, when you bring together all of these things, it's so weird that the cocktail itself is nuanced and delicate.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
Is New Orleans voodoo magic?
It might be. but there is something about bringing together all these very, in some ways it's robust, and in a lot of ways it's just distinctive. These are all very distinctive, very aggressive, I guess, flavors that really are pretty over the top, and then when you combine them in these proportions we've discussed, they become a delicate, nuanced cocktail that I think it, when served, we were drinking this up here, so it's been in a chilled glass and it's shaken with some ice and then strained, and then, you know, and so this is a delicious cocktail. It's very nuanced. It is so sippable. And it's almost like pipe tobacco in the sense which a good pipe tobacco, if it's blended and you know, nuanced, like a good one is, every puff has a little something different. You know, every single puff smoking the pipe, every puff as you're going through the bowl just has that, has a little bit of a twist to it. It has a distinctive note that, you know, if it's a well-blended pipe tobacco, with, you're going to get these wispy notes of different tastes throughout the whole bowl. And I feel like the cocktail is that way.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
Because the Sazerac is so nuanced, I keep coming back to that word, but it's got a lot. There's a lot going on. And throughout the whole experience, you're just really trying to focus on the flavor of the cocktail. This was hard. This was really hard to pair with any pipe tobacco because you almost don't want to mess with it, you know. But if the goal is to sit down and smoke a pipe with this very prestigious cocktail that has such a history and such a element of mystery and everything else to it, we've got to do our best. So what I did is I came up with a tobacco that is as light and delicate as possible, as
really?
To not interfere.
Really?
Yeah. I could have gone a lot of ways with this, obviously. We think about, you know, trying to meet the delicacy of it with power.
Right.
We think about trying to augment the, you know, the bite with maybe some sweetness or some creaminess. I went in a very unassuming, just simple direction where I wanted something that allows you to smoke your pipe while enjoying the flavor of the Sazerac.
Wild.
Sazerac maintains center stage.
Interesting.
With this.
I would have not done that myself, but that's interesting.
It's fascinating because I just don't want to mess with the Sazerac. We do need to compliment it to some degree. So I picked a Black Cavendish. I picked one that is on the market. It is Green River Vanilla, and it is from Cornell and Deal.
Interesting. Okay.
Green River Vanilla, this is Burley from the Green River Valley, is known to produce, well, it's a Burley that is Cavendished easily and absorbs flavors very easily. So it's kind of known to be the best Burley to use for a good Cavendish. It does have a creaminess that, you know, the Sazerac, it has a silkiness that's there. It kind of coats your tongue and is a little fleeting, probably due to the acidity of the lemon. There's no telling kind of what goes into that, but there's kind of a silkiness there, and we're bringing up the kind of creamy tongue coating flavor a little bit with this Green River Vanilla. It's mellow, it's semi-sweet, it's very tame. This is something that if puffed, you know, it just as a normal pipe tobacco, it's going to be kind to your mouth. It's going to be easy and silky smooth, and has a room note that's just creamy, vanilla, delicious. It's just really pleasant for the smoker and for your companions. So yeah, you know, I went that direction. I thought about doing something that would be more pronounced, but I thought, you know, let's let the Zazzerac have the show of this one.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I was thinking like Bowser's Castle. Like I was thinking
but big, bold, and beautiful.
No, I really did. I was thinking like, man, you've got I feel like you have to smoke something
very substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of almost like overpowers the cocktail to some extent and kind of like does battle with it to like
I didn't want it to duke it out. The Sazerac is so delicate. It really is. It's so funny. You talk about a rye whiskey cocktail with brandy in it and all this other stuff, and you think of it as being kind of this, dancing on your tongue. And it's, it needs to continue to shine, and you want to appreciate the incredibly nuanced flavors of it. And I think the Green River Cavendish, I think it does it well. I think it pairs well.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, no, it's as always, man. Like you are the palate king. I am the palate king. You are the king of the palate. So when it comes to what pairs well, I trust your judgment. I'm still a little in shock. I thought you'd go in a completely different direction.
Well, your mileage may vary.
Even after all these years, you still surprise me. Yeah. And you know what else is still surprising me?
What?
The good folks at Missouri Meerschaum.
Wait, I don't know why they're surprising you because they're so consistent.
This is true. Nothing but consistent quality. But at the same time, man, they are always coming out with some new pipe shapes. They've got like, you know, you look at a thing of corn and you're thinking, how innovative can you be? Well, head over to the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum and see what they have done with their corn cob pipes. And beyond that, man, they've got some amazing clay pipes now as well. Like, you know, they're constantly changing the game on a like historied product in a historied country. You know, talk about the cocktail and its legacy in America. An American classic is a Sazerac. I say to you.
This is the point in the show where they realize you pregame.
In vito verita, in vito veritas, out of wine comes truth.
Now he's speaking in tongues.
I love Missouri Meerschaum, and I'm not ashamed to say it here.
And fortunately, Missouri Meerschaum loves us too.
That's so true. Yes.
Every time you smoke one of their pipes, whether it's one of their newer, exciting ones like the Diamond Dagner Poker Corn Cob pipe, or if it's one of their classics like the Country Gentleman, they would love to send you one, and you'll know it'll smoke great from the very first puff. So check them out. You can go to corncobpipe.com and order one. They're all very reasonably priced, and they'll send them right to your front door.
And special thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
Quick Fire question! Ow! All right, man. Jeremy Dukes, the Ring Crafter, the Lord of the Rings, writes him with this one. These are our Quick Fire questions from Jeremy. Here is what he's got. Are you ready, sir?
Yep.
Watching the sun rise or watching the sun set?
Sunset, because it's at night.
I know you,
and not at 5 a.m.
This is well documented, but you are not a morning person.
I'm not. No,
no. I am a sunrise kind of guy. I mean, I like a sunset just fine. If I'm on the beach, I want a sunset. But I don't know. This morning, I woke up and I went over to Croissant d'Or and I got us some croissants.
So good.
Yeah, and like the sun was coming up over the city, and it was just really beautiful. And I was mildly hungover. It was great. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to say sunrise. On the porch or in the den?
I think porch, yeah. My pipe smoking is more prolific on the porch.
In your new house,
I don't have as much of a porch.
I was about to say,
That's something that I really do miss about our older house is that we had just a stellar porch. And on our new house, it's a beautiful house. We love it and are very, very happy there. But yeah, that outdoor space is not quite as... it's not quite as impressive. So, but we do have an outdoor patio and porch that are right. both nice. So anyway, yeah, I'd probably say that.
I just realized like you have lived in two of the most Belhaven-iest Belhaven houses ever.
A craftsman style bungalow.
Yeah.
Built in 1930.
With like the God's gift to porches.
Right.
It was amazing.
And now a 1927 Tudor revival in the Cotswold tradition.
Which like has a couple of add-ons to it, right? Like yeah. some of the rooms that weren't rooms are rooms now.
Are now rooms. That's yeah. in the attic and on the back of the house. So it's just very
Belhaven.
It's very unique.
Yeah. No, there's a like the this, you know, we've mentioned this before, but for a while we were both living in the same neighborhood with all of these kind of old houses.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just thinking about the fact like, oh, yeah, you're not in the old house anymore. And then you're in the new house, but it's still an old house. And it's a Belhaven house. So it's got the tacked on stuff. I'm like, man, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even more appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
Our new house is actually older than our old house.
And if that's not the most Belhaven thing I've ever heard.
Right.
That's exactly right. All right. Finally, from Jeremy, he says, sweet aromatic or grassy Virginia Perique?
Grassy Virginia Perique.
Yeah.
I love a sweet aromatic, but, you know, when I want to smoke real pipe tobacco and get my work done during the day, like, yeah, Virginia Perique.
And I'd be more of a sweet aromatic. But let me ask you this. If I wanted to be a Virginia guy.
Yeah.
What would you suggest is like...
The gateway
for an aromatic smoker specifically. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And that, I mean, like I like English fine, just fine. But I mean like what if I wanted to be a Virginia guy, what would I go? Like, what would I pick up first?
You know, for some reason, I want to tell you Samuel Gaywith Golden Glow.
Okay.
I want to tell you that. And there's a softness to it. That's very approachable.
I do have like, I've smoked several different Samuel Gaywiths. I don't think I've smoked that one though.
Yeah, that you know they're kind of hard to get now. So yeah. We say that constantly about different pipe tobaccos because
that's good is easy to get.
Part of that is the tobacco in certain things are just in high demand, but then part of it's right. supply chain issues, which yeah. the whole world is just falling apart right now. Yeah. So Golden Glow is it's a very approachable Virginia. It's got a nice softness to it while still maintaining some of that bright leaf kind of punch and fun springiness and natural sugar and all that. So yeah, I might point you in that direction if you can find it.
I'll try it out. Yeah. That's good. Jeremy, thanks so much for these quick fire questions. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for the show, you can send them in to us, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
You hate it when I do that.
No, it's fine. Listener feedback. This one's coming in from Dave Ray. Dave writes in, he says, I started listening to your podcast last year. I'm a critical care nurse and was getting desperate for spiritual nourishment. Not that you guys should be considered an act of desperation. or if I may add, Dave, we should not be considered spiritual nourishment either.
Right. Bo speaks the truth.
Yeah. He says, your show helped me feel better and has continued to entertain as well as educate. Yours is the only podcast I listen to. You'll be happy to know that my wife even prefers you to NPR over long car trips.
That's terrifying.
When I get control of the radio, I very much appreciate the work you are doing. Thank you. And again, that is Dave Ray. Well, Dave, this is Bo York filling in for Michelle Norris, filling in for...
all the other people that work at
Terry Gross
and, yep.
The maiden swallow from South Indonesia travels 37 miles on the wind and
I'm not going to stop you this time. I'm just going to let you keep going. And it's going to be ridiculous.
Okay, fair enough. I think we could pull off
an you did well.
I think so. That was NPR style.
You know,
That was for Mrs. Ray.
There you go.
That was for Mrs. Ray. There you go. You got a little NPR there. Dave, thank you so much for that. And also, thank you so much. Man, I know that you've been going through some things as a critical care nurse over the last couple of years. You know, my wife actually works in healthcare. You know, I was thinking about it, you know, so we mentioned this episode of all the episodes that we have recorded in New Orleans. This is the one that we're the most like, hey, we're in New Orleans. And part of the reason why is you can't talk about Sazerac without acknowledging the fact that you're in New Orleans, having Sazerac and all that kind of good stuff. But we feel guilty that we're here and we didn't tell anybody because the New Orleans pipe community is amazing. We've got some amazing listeners here. And chief amongst them, of course, Mark VV, longtime listener of Country Squire Radio. His wife also works in healthcare.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I remember in the early days of the pandemic when kind of sharing just the kind of the stresses of like, you know, like my wife going off to work and then she couldn't come. Like when she came home, she had like the kids couldn't, she couldn't hug the kids. She had to kind of like detox painful, and everything else.
That's painful.
And man. Mark shared a picture of his wife, like when, in her hazmat suit and everything else. And it was just really, I mean, like, anyway, my point is, right, Dave, we obviously, I don't need to tell you that it was rough. You know, you lived it. And so anyway, we appreciate you, brother. We know it's been some tough years for you, for your counterparts, and for those of you out there. I mean, obviously it's been tough for all of us, but there's a uniqueness in the kind of the front care healthcare.
The folks
workers.
That have been in the healthcare industry on the front line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been rough. Yeah. We lift our pipe to you and our Cesarac.
That's right. That's right. And thank you for saying that we're not an act of desperation. And just once again to reiterate, we here at Country Squire Radio are not a source of spiritual nourishment.
Also not good spiritual stewards.
We would not qualify. However, good nourishment of the spirits.
Okay.
No, it's Squire Select. That works.
That's right. It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's so good. All right, man. So Sazerac, this is your first time really kind of diving into the Sazerac.
Yeah, that's right.
What did you think overall?
I really enjoy it. Yeah. I really, really like it. Yeah, it's a it's a fun, very sippable cocktail. It's a little complex to put together if you're like me and just don't really drink or create a whole lot of cocktails at home. But it's one of those that I think you'll really enjoy if you got the access to the goods.
I'll tell you what, man, it's something worth going a little premium on, but for both your rye and if you make it my way with your cognac as well, it'll reward you. It is a great cocktail. I think it's great. It's got ties. I mean, obviously it's got its origin in New Orleans, which just means something special to me. And I always sip it, think about my family ties to the city. And just beyond that, it's just a delicious cocktail.
It's tasty.
And now we know what to smoke with it as well.
That's right.
Lane Art. What was it again?
Lane.
Oh, well, for the Sazerac rye.
For the Sazerac rye, it's a RLP6.
RLP6.
And for the cocktail, Green
Bowser's
River
Castle.
Vanilla.
Excellent. Right. Okay, good deal.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's our thoughts, but we want to hear from you. Be sure to write into the show, show@countrysquireradio.com. You can follow us throughout the week. John David is at John David Cole. The shop is at _CountrySquire. And of course, the show is at Squire Radio, but all that and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right.
Dude, I had fun.
Always.
It's always fun, man. But
yeah.
This is great. It's tasty and it's boozy and cognac-y and rye and bittery and
all the goods.
It's great.
It's got the good stuff, man. All right. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Yeah.